You know how to solve tough technical problems, but leading people? That's a different challenge. Stepping into leadership means more than just knowing your stuff. It's about inspiring, communicating, and navigating challenges with confidence. At Engineer Your Success, we help technical pros like you grow into leaders who just don't manage the work, but lead the people who do. If you're ready to lead with clarity and impact, visit engineeryoursuccessnow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you.
And at that point, I think as a leader, you're dealing with the reality of that for yourself. You're also responsible for the people on your team, and I have to make a decision. In that moment, the decision that I made was I needed to be clear about the type of leader that I wanted to show up as after that point. The person that I wanted to be wasn't someone who avoided it, or the person that I wanted to be wasn't someone who lied to my team or told them everything was okay, even though I knew that we were going to be let go 2 months from now.
Success isn't just about what you achieve. It's about living a life that reflects your values and priorities. Welcome to Engineer Your Success, the podcast that helps you lead with intention and live fulfilled.
I want to welcome you to the Engineer Your Success podcast. My name is Dr. James Bryant, your host for the show. And today we have a very special guest, Ms. Ashley Rudolph.
Hi, everyone. I am Ashley, the founder and a performance coach at Work with Ashley R, where I work with high achieving leaders to navigate transitions in their careers, whether that be a promotion, finding a new role, a new job at a new company, whatever transitions they're going through in their lives, I'm the person that's helping them navigate it.
So one of the things I caught when you were talking about your intro is that you help high performers. Different people have different definitions of who a high performer is. I'd be interested to know what your definition is.
Yes. The high performer in me is someone who is really interested in being better or being the best. And that manifests itself in so many different ways. And this goes back to me growing up and my mom, right? And if I brought home a 90, the response would be, why isn't it 100? Or you can do better, right? And there's a book. I have a memo book, and my mom still has it at her house in Florida. I did it in fourth grade. One of the exercises in the memo book was I had to write a fake report card for myself and what I wanted my teacher to say about me. And the line that I wrote was, Ashley excels at excellence, whatever that means, right? For my 9-year-old brain. But if I could not describe a high achiever in so many words, that would be it. People who are in school constantly aiming for that gold star, or in the workplace, they're continually pushing themselves to be better. They care about climbing the ladder until maybe there's a reckoning, right? But there's still that drive and motivation to excel. And I think.
Okay. So let's tell the listeners a little bit about your background. Okay. Who was Ashley?
Before I got into coaching, I was a tech executive. I spent about 10 years in the tech industry. And before that, I worked in marketing and in nonprofits and education. I grew up in the tech industry. When I entered the tech industry, I grew from an individual contributor to a vice president in 5 years. I know something about transitions, clearly. I did it for myself, but in doing it for myself, I made a lot of mistakes. I found that once I codified those things, I was able to help my colleagues and give them advice about advocating for themselves or getting a promotion. I was helping friends and family, and I really like doing this work, but also I'm really good at it. It's not just about what drives me. It's about whether or not I'm getting results for the people that I work with or the people that I love. So yeah, that's what led me into this work. I'm a New Yorker, born and raised in New York, and that drives a lot of who I am and what I do.
So you have walked the walk, you've transitioned, you've been in a tech firm, you've gone in different roles from individual contributor to vice president in a 5-year trajectory. If someone is listening to the show, what's the one thing that you want them to know about you?
the one thing that I want someone to know about me is I'm willing to do the hard things and I'm willing to have the hard conversations. And I think that's what got me to where I got to in my career. I'm just not someone that runs away from the scary things.
Do you run towards the scary things?
Yeah, I think sometimes I do. If something is hard, I can talk you through an example that might illustrate that. At the end of my tenure at my last company, I'm in tech, right? High growing or fast growing tech company. And we had grown really fast throughout the pandemic because remote learning was a thing. Then students went back into the classroom and growth wasn't so fast. The company was at a period where we were trying to figure out what our strategy was, but wasn't taking off. So just like lots of other tech companies, we went through a restructuring. And one day I reported right into the chief technology officer. We had a conversation and he told me that I would be getting laid off along with my entire department.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have 15 people on my team. Basically hired most of them myself or with the director on my team. And at that point, I think as a leader, you're dealing with the reality of that for yourself. You're also responsible for the people on your team. And I have to make a decision. In that moment, the decision that I made was I needed to be clear about the type of leader that I wanted to show up as after that point. The person that I wanted to be wasn't someone who avoided it, or the person that I wanted to be wasn't someone who lied to my team or told them everything was okay, even though I knew that we were going to be let go 2 months from now. I also still had a responsibility to the company as a leader, and I couldn't just go there and make an announcement to the team that we were all getting let go in 2 months. That also wasn't the strategy. For me, I gravitated towards doing what I felt was the best thing, and that was preparing them for their next chapters, because I knew that there would be a next chapter.
What are some examples of things that you did to help prepare them for that next chapter?
Over the next couple of months, I implemented a new ceremony and we did weekly project deep dives where the team was able to present their projects, recent projects, what went well, what didn't go well, what they would do differently. I was able to give them feedback on what I thought their achievements were or how they should be positioning those achievements differently. Very much preparation for the interview process, right? Without calling it that. If people came to me and they were like, would you look at my resume? I looked at people's resumes and I gave them feedback. I did what I could as a leader to help people feel confident about their ability to take that next step if the scary thing happened, right? Because they have no confirmation that it was going to happen, but I did. And I just leaned into that. And I wanted to show up as a professional and all of that too.
I mean, that shows to me extreme integrity and loyalty to think about the responsibility that you have as a leader to the company, to the organization telling you, we're going to let you and your team go.
And in that moment, like, it would have been understandable if I was just like, whatever, you know, I don't respect the cut, or, you know, what?
Yeah.
People go through so many different emotions through it, but I knew that there was a way that I wanted to handle it. And that's what I did.
No, I applaud you for how you handled that. And I imagine that you're able to help your clients walk through similar transitions. All transitions aren't as devastating or negative as that, but transitions do tend to have some kind of a common thread, particularly when people are having a difficulty with that transition. They're either holding on to what was, they're unsure about what's going to be, and they're looking for some support in that in-between area.
Exactly. My transition was probably an extreme version of what that could look like, but what it did was prepare me to help someone navigate a transition and all the emotions that come with that. I'm helping them sort that through and unpack that for themselves, really lean into who they want to be in that moment and in their next chapter. And there's something unique about the high achiever experience, especially in the workplace.
You're able to speak their language in a way that they can actually take it and take action. This person speaks my language.
Yes. One of the things I named recently was this concept of being the only. And I think a lot of people maybe feel like imposter syndrome was the thing that, you know, categorized that feeling. But for me, it's more about being the only. I was a Black woman in tech who was a director or VP, and I was literally the only. And there is some, like, yes, there's imposter syndrome that comes with something like that, but also being in a room that wasn't made for you, it doesn't have to be hostily excluding you, but it wasn't made with your needs or wants in mind. So you're constantly being like, hey, did you think about this? Or hey, did you remember that I have an opinion and a voice too? Maybe imposter syndrome is not holding you back, but there's just something about being the only in a room. That's a different experience, right?
And I think the thing that resonates with me is that you're in a room that's not designed with you in mind.
Yes.
And
yeah.
What I liking that to is being a left-handed person.
Yes.
In a right-handed world.
Yes.
Most things are built for right-handed people.
Yes.
My wife is left-handed.
Yes.
There are certain ways that she has to write or move because the world isn't built with her in mind.
I remember as a kid, my mom's right-handed and she was trying to teach me how to use utensils. She couldn't do it in the way that I needed to learn. She was like, I'm sorry, you have to learn like a right-handed person. I can't flip-flop it. I learned how to use silverware as if I was right-handed, or I learned how to use scissors the right-handed way. It was hard to learn it as a left-hand person.
But see, that also gives an example that folks can dig into as well, is that you were able to adapt. Just because the world was not built with you in mind, you didn't give up. So if you're in a room that's not designed for you, that doesn't mean that you give up.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there were times that you were frustrated when you were like, this is harder than what it needs to be.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you were able to take on that challenge and come on the other side.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Exactly. I never thought about that. And you just named it.
Leadership comes with high expectations, too many responsibilities, too little time, and the constant pressure to keep up. If you're feeling stretched thin, you're not alone. At Engineer Your Success, we help leaders take back control so that they can lead with confidence, delegate effectively, and stop running on empty. You don't have to choose between success and sanity. Let's build a leadership plan that works for you. Visit EngineerYourSuccessNow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you. So Ashley, you've talked about helping high achievers, this whole only concept in being able to speak their language.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times I will liken that to being able to present a package in a way that the receiver can actually take it, receive it, and do something with it.
Yes.
I talk a lot about that in terms of communication, but it's the same for just about everything we do.
Yes.
Can you walk us through some of the ways that you help your clients achieve success?
Yeah. So I think what makes my coaching unique for high achievers is that I have what I call this three dimensions of transformation model. And I work with every single client in this exact same way. And there's three areas that we focus our work on and three areas that are also important to my work. First, we focus on mindset and identity. I spend so much time understanding who my clients are, which is exactly like what you were talking about on the communications piece. Yes. That allows me to understand who they are, who they show up as at work, who they are personally, like how to deliver information to them, how to deliver feedback to them. Like, what are their values? What are their motivations? So I spend time understanding who they are. And then we move into strategy and career navigation. Now that I know who you are, the question is, what do you want? Sometimes that's a hard question to answer when there's work we have to do to get to that answer. But it's thinking about what do they want in the short term for their career or the long term for their career. Not a rigid plan. I'm also not that kind of coach either. I need you to map out your 6, 12, 24, 36, like, that's not what this is. This is just like, what do you envision for yourself? What would make you happy? And then the third dimension is execution, right? So all of this stuff sounds great, and I think anyone can get on board with more deeply understanding themselves and having a plan, but where it can all fall apart is the execution. And the thing that I really loved about the first conversation we had was you asking your clients, are the things that they're saying important to them, even looking at their calendar, right?
Yes, yes.
And that's what this is. They say that they want to improve their communication skills. Well, show me some emails, right? Let me see how you're writing your emails to your boss, to your peers. Or you say you want to be a better public speaker. Okay, we're going to spend some time in our coaching meetings role-playing, and you're going to act like you're presenting something like you would in front of a 100-person team. And we're running drills until you feel comfortable. So I'm very highly invested in the execution side of it too, because if I can't change the day-to-day, I think anyone can help you come up with a plan or a roadmap that maybe yes. you don't implement. I really care about the impact of my work and the results. So I'm also going to be equally invested in seeing what you do with it and yeah. helping you with the execution.
They don't realize that if you don't execute, you don't change.
People pay me for the change. They don't pay me for a presentation. They don't pay me for yes. a plan. And that's what I want to deliver. And that's what you deliver.
Yes. Yeah. We deliver that transformation and that change because that's what's making a difference in our clients' lives. Ashley, it's been a great conversation. I've really enjoyed having the audience get to know you a little bit more. We've talked a few times now, and I've enjoyed every time that we've talked. If the listeners would like to get in contact with you to sign up for your newsletter, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I write a newsletter every week, and my newsletter is newsletter.workwithashleyr.com. So it's easy to find. And my website is workwithashleyr.com. And you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm Ashley Rudolph with a PH. So like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Christmas is my favorite season.
Got it.
Yeah.
And so we'll put links to all of that in the show notes. So now we're going to get to the part where we're going to turn this around. So now you are the interviewer.
Yes.
And I am the interviewee. Yes. What questions do you have for me?
I am always fascinated by other coaches who are really good at what they do. One thing that would be so interesting to hear is if you worked with a client and had a really impactful transformation, someone who you felt like your work deeply change their lives. I always love hearing those stories.
Yeah, I think that is great. The ones that I can talk about, because you know, all of the clients that you have, you can't necessarily talk about, but there is a common thread or theme between the people that I help. So I have about an equal mix of male and female.
Cool.
And so when I say this, this is in both cases where clients are coming in, they want success, they self-sabotage. And one of the things that we get into is this feeling or a sense that they're not worthy of success. And I'm always reminded, even though I work with technical people, that engineers are people too. When we're able to peel that back and work on affirmations, gratitude, journaling, yeah. and getting people to focus on the fact that they are worthy to be loved. They're worthy of success just because they exist. Some of the best stories that I have are helping clients through that process, yeah. helping them get to the point where they can actually say that they're worthy. I had one client, a gentleman, whenever we would talk about being successful, whenever we would talk about things, it was always a negative comment that followed, always something that
yeah.
kind of derails that. Yes, I'm doing good, but
yeah.
or that was great, but
yeah.
And so we started working on this process of, hey, when you find yourself saying that, then I want you to continue that. Yes, it was great, but I'm still going to continue to do great. When you start saying that word, suspend it
yeah.
and continue on with something fully positive. Some people say the but negates everything before. I still want something positive to come after the but.
Yes.
But it's just through that recognition, helping them do that. And to be able to see a client say that they're worthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just accept that has been really useful.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually believe in it, because I think some people dismiss that sentiment as fluff.
Yes. No, no. Yeah. These are engineers, people with an engineering background. I've always say that engineers are people too. So just because a person has a technical background does not mean they don't struggle with worthiness. They don't struggle with belonging.
Yes.
They want to be heard. They want to be loved. They want to be seen just like anybody else.
Yes. They want to be valued, and all of that stuff matters.
Yes.
That is powerful. And honestly, I don't think that if I were to try to predict what you would have shared with me, it wouldn't have been that, but I'm glad that you did. I think that's powerful. So what is keeping you doing the work that you do, right? Like, why do you wake up every single morning and choose to continue coaching?
I believe that God has designed me to have an impact on the world, and the people that I talk to and communicate with that come across my path, they're uniquely designed to receive the message and the sentiment that God has given me for them. That's honestly why I do what I do. That's why I do the podcast. I want to highlight different stories. I want to talk to different people and connect with them. I want people to be inspired. I want people to be encouraged by the stories that they hear. And I want people to know that they're not alone. It's important for me to be able to have people on the show that I think can add value to the audience.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that you can add value.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I just really appreciated the way that you asked questions. This was great.
Okay, I'm going to end this podcast like I end every podcast, and that's this. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it. And there's a select group of people that follow through and do it. And they're living the life of their dreams, and they're helping others do the same. I want to thank you for being part of that select few.
Thank you so much. It was so great being on the podcast.